the best and the brightest.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
Incubators and accelerators, smart zones, venture capital. These are just some of the components that the state has been building to help diversify our economy and retain and attract new companies and talented entrepreneurs. But are these efforts getting us closer to having a true culture of innovation here in Michigan? Our partner in the next idea, of course, is U of M Ross School of Business professor Jeff DeGraff. His latest essay focuses on what more we could be doing to develop a lasting culture of innovation in our state. As always, good to have you with us, Jeff.
Thank you, Cynthia. Good to be here.
Well, before we turn to Michigan, let's jump across the pond and go to Europe, because there's been talk lately about why the continent's economy has been struggling so badly and why there's been a relative dearth of groundbreaking innovations coming out of Europe. And the Nobel Prize-winning American economist Edmund Phelps wrote in the Financial Times, and here's his quote, "Europe has run out of ideas." What does he see as the main reasons why?
Well, what Professor Phelps is basically saying about Europe is they've had state-sponsored innovation. And it's basically the government that's made all these infusions to drive new technology, to drive particular types of R&D, and most importantly, to start these businesses. And his concern in this article in the Financial Times is it's not about money now. They no longer have a culture of entrepreneurism, a culture of ambition. And he's basically saying, and there's, of course, a lot of numbers behind this, as we're watching Europe's share of the global market shrink very, very quickly. He's saying money isn't going to solve the problem and the government isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is far more endemic and far more long term.
Well, viewed through that prism, how would you characterize Michigan's innovation culture?
Well, I think there's some similarities, aren't there? And part of the reason I wrote this piece was to say, you know, here is one of the world's top macroeconomists, and those are people who really look at a lot of numbers, and they almost always want to talk about numbers. He's not a behavioral economist. Mm-hmm. And here this guy comes out and says the problem really isn't the structure of numbers. The problem is that when we have the government sort of support all these programs and people don't have to do them themselves, they don't have to go through the failure cycle themselves, they don't develop the competency or the culture to do it. So when I look at Michigan, back in the day, as we like to say, people did things in their garages. There was a lot of failure cycle. There was a lot of learning by doing. There was a lot of creativity on the fly that had to happen. And so people developed kind of this blood culture. And of course, over the years, those companies become big. And people then work for companies. They don't really start a lot of companies.
The family name goes off the building and becomes some corporate name.
You got it. And, you know, two generations later, the ingenuity, the wherewithal, the fortitude that created these organizations is gone. So I don't think he's just about the government infusion and how sustainable that is. I think he would also say that we've lost our grit. We're not tough.
The state, of course, mainly through the efforts of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, has made pretty significant investments over the last decade to diversify our economy. They've funded incubators and accelerators. They've worked to attract and retain new companies and entrepreneurs and pouring money and resources into making more venture capital available. And these efforts have been controversial, but they've also seemed to have had an impact. So how would you assess the state's efforts to encourage innovation?
Well, I don't want to say that I'm a complete follower of Professor Phelps. I actually think the efforts are pretty good. But I do want to reinforce one of the things that he's very concerned about in Europe that he also is concerned about in America that I see here in my home state of Michigan, which is, are we actually creating situations where our young people are encouraged to start businesses and fail, and then from those failures pick themselves up and build additional businesses? Now, that's not just an issue of how smart you are. And it's not just an issue of how creative you are. It's an issue of what kind of persistence, what kind of a culture you are producing, creating.
And isn't it interesting you think that there's kind of the common view of the way young people are raised is kind of in a cotton batting cocoon. Everybody gets medals. Everybody does great. We don't want to see the kids fail.
Well, it's absolutely our fault. And I mean, when I mean our, I mean mine. Mm-hmm. You know, boomers, we competed for everything. Everything was based on a curve. So the whole notion of competing was very much part of us. But when we had children, we didn't want them to have to go through all that. So we did everything we could to make them more collaborative, which is wonderful, and we love that. It's the values we wanted. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we might have lost is our ability to really one-on-one compete and have that notion of we have the ambition, we have the temerity that we're going to try to keep on going until we finally succeed.
Interesting. In your latest essay for The Next Idea, you argue it's not clear all these efforts by the state are going to create this true culture of innovation you think we need. What does that kind of thriving culture look like in your eyes?
Well, I think it's the same kind of culture that we see everywhere around the planet. When we see individuals get together with other individuals and exhibit what's called self-authorizing behavior, ownership, They start building things. They say, I don't like this, or I see this opportunity, and I'm going to try something. And they don't just try it like I'm going to have three people or four people. You know, we see this a lot in the inner cities now. We see that these companies start and they inevitably become three or four people. Mm-hmm. And then people are really comfortable because these are people they like and this is what they want. But in these cultures, when we look at them, there's this next level of ambition where, you know, how far can I go? You know, what can my legacy be? And so they build these into much larger corporations, or much larger, not just corporations, NGOs, you know, these are things that also help people, missions, whatever.
One of the things you recommend in your essay is that we focus more and not less on arts education.
Yeah, this is a common theme when I'm on this program.
Yeah.
One of my big things is that arts in itself never pay. But arts as a mindset, as a quality of mind, as a part of the culture always pays, because arts are the act of creation. You take something from ideation all the way to, you know, whether it's a novel or a painting or dancing, it has to become something. And from that, you learn design thinking. And more importantly than that, you learn how things come together. And of course, we're living in an age where the difference between a high wage and a low wage economy has everything to do with design, or how much innovation's in the product, or how new the product or service is going to be. So my view right off the bat is I think we have to do some very special things, maybe actually combine arts with industrial design, or combine arts with entrepreneurism, combine arts with these other areas so that we can see the direct connection between making things better and new in the very things that we produce.
And you also raise a concept that goes back to the founding of this country, apprenticeships.
Yeah. If you look at people who are highly practiced, there's this old idea that actually comes, we see it as early as the ancient Chinese, called see one, do one, teach one. Mm-hmm. And that is where somebody who's a novice watches somebody who's a master, then eventually they try some things, they're brought along in phases and developmental phases, then eventually they become the master and teach others. So the object of whether you're going to become a physician, or whether you're going to become a master designer, or whether you become an electrician, is the notion that you're apprenticed, that somebody's bringing you along.
How could the state, Jeff, be playing a better role in moving forward to encourage these efforts, nudge us along toward creating a true culture of innovation here in Michigan?
More focused. The idea is there's a lot of people who are exhibiting self-authorizing behavior and talent. And just like a good symphony, or a good medical school, or a good football team, we actually have some ideas of who our highly practiced individuals are. Those people could become both people who teach. Those people could also be the people that we're apprenticing. So one of the things the state could help us do is pick who those people are, so that rather than trying to boil the ocean and extract gold, we're focusing on a small group of people in these communities. And those people can become teachers, and those people can become the very people who begin to disseminate this type of skill, this type of craft that eventually becomes a culture for innovation in our individual communities.
Interesting thoughts, Jeff DeGraff, as always, professor of innovation at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, and our partner on The Next Idea. You can find his essay on The Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. Jeff, always great talking with you.
Thank you, Cynthia.